Welcome to Two's Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Trevor Ethier is with us today. He's going to talk about everything he's done in the game, in another sport, how he's now transitioned to coaching, and what an all-around great guy he is. So welcome, Trevor.
Well, thank you very much, Donnie, and hello, Tosh and Dino.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So do you want to be called Eatsy throughout the cast, or do you want to go Trevor or Mr. Ethier? What's more?
Eatsy sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, we're just having a chat here, just a nice chat. Okay, so Trevor, honestly, really lucky to have you on here. Tosh and Dean have great resumes and have great stories, and I know you have almost the exact same path as they do, so it's going to be great to hear some of your insight. Want to start with, if we can, some of your minor playing leading into when you got onto Team Canada. So I guess the floor is yours, Eats.
Okay, well, thanks, Donnie.
Where'd you come from?
Where'd I come from? Yeah, I've grown up in Saskatoon. Played here my entire life, being a multi-sport athlete, with softball in the summertime and hockey in the wintertime. And my life in softball, you know, consisted. And then I started playing senior ball in 1999 and basically went on to play roughly about 18 years consistently at the senior level. I was fortunate to be part of the national team program for roughly about 7 years. I started off on the development team program in 2003, and I was fortunate with another good buddy and great player, Sean Witten. We were both able to be pulled up to the senior team and go on to play and win a gold medal at the Pan American Games in the Dominican Republic. What an awesome experience that was. So that was basically my introduction to getting into the national team program. And then with that, was stuck around that and worked hard for a few years in different events here and there. And then obviously had an opportunity to work my butt off to make the team that was able to be right in our backyard here in Saskatoon for 2009 and be part of that awesome experience with a fantastic group of guys, you know, that I'll cherish for the rest of my life. I think it's one of the highlights of anything I've ever done in playing any sports, was getting that opportunity to wear the maple leaf on the chest and play in front of the massive crowds we have in Saskatoon and all the support that we had and all the family and friends. And like I said, we just had a great team and the whole experience going into it. So I'll cherish that for the rest of my life. And then after that, that experience, I was, you know, done with the national team stuff. And then just was able to continue to play senior level and some ISCs and a bunch of Canadians and stuff since then, and up until 2017. The highlight for me playing in the senior level would have been the year before with our BVR 2008 with our Aspen team with Tosh and Dino. You know, fantastic teammates and awesome, you know, players, and what a team we had. When we talked to all the guys that we had on that group that we had then, and we basically refer to ourselves, you hear many people say it, a bunch of misfits, but you know what? It was, what an awesome group. We just found a way to, you know, we gelled so well, and we just found a way to, you know, get it done, and we were underdogs in big tournaments, but man, we just always had different people step up and had a fantastic year, and we had a lot of fun to go with it. You know, and that was my only national championship, you know, Canadian national championship in the senior A men's ball. So that was quite an awesome experience for me. And then I was fortunate to play on a team at the ISCs in 2010 with the Jarvis Travelers, and I won my only ISC World Championship there.
That was fun to watch.
So that was really cool. So that was quite an experience there after being at many ISCs. As everyone knows, you know, playing at all these major championships, they're great to be at, and we just realize how difficult they are to actually win. So just being in that moment and getting a chance to have a national and an ISC and then be a part of our Canadian championships we had here in Saskatoon, that's been awesome. I've also been fortunate to play many years at the NADA Fast Pitch Championships. I've played that for quite a few years, and I've been fortunate to have been on a lot of good teams with that, and I've had five Native Gold Championships as well throughout the years. I've been played in quite a few of them.
You won the MVP with Siksika, is that right?
Siksika, yeah. So I played with them majority of the time. There's a bunch of our guys that we had from the Gordons Reserve here. We combined with some guys out there, and we played for quite a few years doing that. So, bunch similar guys throughout the years, and then as we, you know, some guys dropped off, you always grab some other guys and things like that. But it was what a great experience that was.
You know, sorry to interrupt. That level of ball, like at Native Canadians, is very underrated for how high level of ball that is. It is not talked about as much, but man, a couple guys on my team play on with Alexander, and it's incredibly competitive, and the pitching is phenomenal. Like, it's a world-class tournament when you get into the last day or two. It's crazy how good the ball is in that.
It is, yeah. Like, I always refer to it. It's the level, like, it's the final, the Saturday of the IAC stuff, and, you know, when you get down to the end of the Nationals, that's what it's like, and that's how competitive and how good the competition is towards the end of the tournament. And you're right, Donnie, you got a lot of great players that you play with now, or that you play with, you know, with the Arcans and those guys that are fantastic in not only senior A ball, but in all levels of ball in Native Fast Pitch Championships as well. So
for sure. And one thing I want to go back to just for a quick second, Aspen, you guys, you said you were misfits and underdogs. Looking at that roster, you and Dean pitching, how could you ever be an underdog against anybody? That's just crazy to think about. I know we had to play you, unfortunately, a few times in that league. Had the Diamond Dogs, I want to say, and you guys, and we went in it a few times, and it was terrible. It was, a learning experience, but just 1-9 power and good arms and super smooth, like a great team for sure, Aspen.
Yeah, it was like I said, it was an awesome team, and I just think of it when we think of ourselves a bunch of misfits, is we had some guys that maybe were, you know, not the big name guys, you know, just kind of combined, and we were able to combine as a team, and things gelled well. One guy that really comes to mind for us, you know, that was unbelievable for us that entire season and all the big moments and all these Sundays was Dale Levy.
Oh, unreal.
Know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He just hit, you know, massive home runs for us whenever it mattered in a big game, you know, that type of thing. And he continually did that for us throughout the season in those big tournaments. So it was awesome. And I say that we're kind of misfits because the fact is that we were considered a low-budget team to a lot of these teams we were playing. You know, like I said, it wasn't all these big names and things like that, but we consider ourselves to have a, you know, a good lineup, and we just found a way to get it done. So,
well, you might not have been big names to start, but you sure as hell are now. There's no doubt about it. I mean,
well, the biggest thing, too, that he's not talking about is we didn't have a lot of big names around. Like, we had him and Dino. We had Ricky Smith, too. Like, we had an awesome staff, and the reason we probably had so many guys that you never heard of is because they couldn't afford to pay anybody else after they finished paying the pitchers on that.
Oh, yeah. So, there it is.
You know, that's how it usually goes. Donnie, hey, you feel like paying?
I do, bud. I do. Pitchers, man. Well, but they're the ones that, on the Sunday, they're earning that money for sure. They, if you got a good...
Well, usually. Mm. Come on.
If you do it right, yeah.
If you do it right, yeah.
We're going there, right. I guess.
Eatsy's right. That was an awesome team, and we've talked about that. You know, Trev and Dino and I, you know, different times. I mean, that was, I've played on some close teams, and everybody talks about, you know, the farm being the team that had the most fun and whatever. And yeah, don't get me wrong. Those couple of years on the farm, that was a tight team, but that Aspen team in 08, that rivaled anything that I had ever been with, national team, club team, whatever. I mean, closer than my own family sometimes. Like they were, that was an awesome group. It was just, we were all in it for each other, and grew some greasy mustaches for the ISP.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah.
You talking about
our team picture that year is rotten.
You talk about the farm, probably one of the nicest sets of unis in the history of the game, as far as I'm concerned. Sharp,
baby
sharp
baby
unis,
blues.
Buddy. Oh, Dodgers baby had blues. Baby blues for a while. Man, loved it. Okay, so one highlight I want to touch on a little bit. Obviously, I went to the ISFs in Saskatoon just to watch. I want to say it was in 14 or 15.
I think Dino signed your glove.
He did, yeah. He signed my chest, actually. It was super awkward. I didn't have a glove. He was really nice about it. It didn't make me feel weird. But what I will say is, obviously, the park, BVI and Gordie Howe, fantastic facilities. Like, we're really lucky to be able to play in those as much as we are. But I was floored with the people piled into that stadium. It was, like, I had to sit in the outfield, but we were 30 deep in the outfield. No, we were by the beer tent, too, which maybe was a good thing. But stands were packed, underneath was packed, all on the foul lines, packed. What was that like playing in an atmosphere like that internationally in front of your hometown fans?
Oh, there's nothing better. I think it was such an amazing experience. You know, like I said earlier, just the support we had from fans and, you know, friends and family, and just the way everyone kind of gathered and just wanted to put on an awesome championship. And, you know, there's nothing better. Like I said, just having that many people here in Saskatoon come to support, and the place was packed, so it was great.
Saskatoon does love their ball, and they support it incredibly well. Obviously, when a tournament like that comes on, we had Westerns there, there's been Nationals there, and it's so well attended. Everybody loves to see that high level of ball.
We did, like I'm probably like the other two guys here. I wake up nights thinking about, you know, losing and getting third when we had a good team. We had, you know, we've had Mark on, and he said, you know, that's one of the best teams that, you know, we could have put together. And it was. We just came up on the short end. But one of the coolest things, because you got to play at home, one of the coolest things, and we've talked about the haka before on different podcasts, but the Kiwis came out in that, you know, essentially the 2-3 game, and they did the haka, and we've done a lot of different things. You know, we stood there with arms crossed, we've turned our backs to, and we've done different things with gestures. But the one thing that we did, arm in arm, when they were done, and then we turned to the crowd and started singing "O Canada," and 6,000 people started singing it with us. That was I'm never going to forget that. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
You probably don't want to talk about it, but it's just for the listeners out there. A bronze in Saskatoon. Who did you lose to, and who won?
Lost to the Kiwis.
Yeah, I don't remember much after Donnie Hale hit one about 400 feet off me, and then it was like I just went and planted my head in the ground, and I think it was about a month until I came back. I think that was a.
To be fair, Dean, goal. You've done that to people yourself, so I don't know. I don't want to. I would feel bad.
Payback,
you've hit your fair share of moonshots in your day. So have you, Eats.
Talking about Team Canada, though, and Eatsy was saying and how, you know, he had to work hard to get in shape. I was a little bit remiss that you didn't mention me. You know, and how, like when I was we were back. Well, it was tough. Like we were working hard to. Get in shape and
let me paint the picture for the folks out there. Go ahead.
I remember Eatsy trying to pace himself with me when we were doing the beep test. You know, he was always just trying to stay as close as he could to my heels, and I think that probably helped him a lot.
Okay.
Absolutely.
It's the only time doing the beep test that you could run and somebody else, you could high five the guy on the way back, because Dino was exact opposite of everybody else.
Okay. I've told the kids this because we had to work it. We did some beep tests in our testing and stuff. The one thing that I said, I did the plank okay. I did the plank okay. But I said the beep test, I didn't stop.
Nope. Well, you
did. I didn't get to level 8, but I kept running until you guys got done level 8, and then I just crumpled into the corner, and I think I was there for 2 hours.
That's exactly that right. Yeah.
We're paving the way for the future, though, you know?
That's
we're making
right.
it.
Wow.
You know, for the young guys now.
Good for you. Okay, so just switching gears real quick, you mentioned earlier you're a two-sport athlete. For those who don't know, you had a great career, junior hockey. You played at the U of S, and the story I have about it is, when I worked in Edmonton, I worked at the Golden Bears, and the U of S and U of A have a huge hockey rivalry, and it's generally always been Canada West Championship has come down to you guys. So I watched Ryan Johnston and Robbie Boysen and you and whoever else play on the U of S team going into Claire Drake, a tiny little arena. Atmosphere in there was wild. Always incredible hockey. And at the time, I had season tickets for the Oilers, and I would prefer watching CIS hockey because it was just intense. I never got to watch a game in Saskatoon, but you had a very accomplished career in university hockey. And I'm going to point out, not to pump your tires, still third all-time in goals as a Husky, which is, you smash the ball, you throw the lights out, and you're scoring goals. You're a double threat guy, they call that.
Well, thank you. No, it's, like I said, when you mentioned that those rivalries out in Alberta and things like that, that was... When you talk about the highlight of my career playing hockey, it's definitely those rivalries when you talk about Huskies versus U of A in those finals and things like that. You know, that would get you into the Canada West, you know, into the CIS Championships. So that was the greatest hockey I've ever played. You know, the most amount of fun I've had playing the game. And, you know, just I think that university hockey is, you know, is top-notch at that point of time. And I think that So all of us that have played, we've all played junior hockey and things like that. It's just that next step above, and I think that I really cherish those moments. And just like when we're talking about all these teams that we've had, great moments in fastball, you develop these awesome relationships and you meet these great people and lifelong friends and things like that, and you take that a long ways. So
before we flip into how you got into coaching, do you have any stories you want to tell the listeners about any of your time at ISCs or ISFs or Canadian Nationals or Native Canadians or even provincials as a youth? Anything you want to talk about that stands out in your mind?
I think it's all about, like I was just saying, not necessarily the games themselves and things like that. I think it's just about being able to be around all these great people, the relationships that we've been able to form, you know, and I think awesome teammates. I just think about all the great teammates a person's had over the years in both sports that I've played. You know, we got two guys that are right on line with us right now. I can't ask for better teammates than those. I think of our ROA team. You got guys like Sean O'Brien and DJ and, you know, just some fantastic people. And our Canada team in 09, like I just look at that group of guys and I think what a close group. And those are the things I remember the most, you know, and I think of my hockey years and the guys you spend all that time with. And I just think those are the bigger moments than me than the end results type thing, other than obviously the championships you're able to win. But I think it's just all those moments and all those great places you get to go be part of in these awesome games. And those are things I'll always cherish.
EC, do you still have a scar on your leg?
I still got a scar on my leg. Yes, I do. Yes.
Are we going to tell the story or no?
Yeah, what was that from?
This is unreal. It's one of the greatest Team Canada experiences we've ever had. When it's not an actual event, just going down there for a competition and play some games there. We went up to the U.S. Virgin Islands, and wow, did we have a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess.
Yeah. Like, the weather was fantastic. We stayed at a great place. We were right on the beach. But what we did is we got an opportunity and we got a chance to get our hands on some scooters.
And
15. They were hogs, man. They were hogs.
Hey, yeah. I've seen wild hogs, boys. I get it. Go on.
Whenever we had a second, we grabbed these things and we're cruising around these roads on the wrong side of the street. And we're just, I think we're just.
It was 45 minutes from tip to tip. Like 45 minutes from the south to the north, I think, on that island. And it was one of the coolest things we ever did.
And we drive them so much, every once in a while you'd think you'd have to go put your $2 worth of gas in there. You have to fill them up. So go to the gas station, and I just happen to lean my leg up slightly against another guy's scooter, Dale Levy there, and I just happen to take quite a bit of my skin off my leg. So
on the exhaust pipe.
You got yourself a burn, did you?
The exhaust pipe. So that makes a little bit of a mess there. So doing a little bit of bandaging up and things like that, but good time, definitely well worth it.
There was a lot of looks from the locals when you had 17 very large athletic individuals riding around these scooters. Like, it was some of the looks we got were pretty good.
Yeah, like a bear on a tricycle. I love that look. That's
Well, you remember, it's that look, and I always talk about this, it's the look of there's the two twins, the two largest guys in the history of the world. They're riding little motorbikes, and they're Guinness Book of World Record weight guys. It was like the scooter and then person just kind of went over top of the scooter. Like, it was, oh, my God. Yeah, we had a lot of fun that trip. That was a great trip.
You know, you're right, E.T. It's the people and the karaoke.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have a karaoke go-to you want to share with the crowd here?
He's some poison. He's all poison.
The hair metal is the best.
Gotta love to talk dirty to me by poison.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, the one thing I was going to say.
To hear somebody sing karaoke, you got to hear Steve Price sing New York, New York.
Oh, well.
That's one of the best. Yeah.
The one thing I was going to say, you know, ball, we all come, like, we're pretty close. Lloyd, Saskatoon, not real far apart. But ISCs, it's a small community ball, so everybody travels with their own team and goes down there. The one thing I'll say, Eats, you've always been incredibly, incredibly good with us. Like, my team was younger and way worse than the teams you were playing on. But, you know, the funny thing about the ISCs or even the Canadian Nationals is, and I don't want to promote the beer tent because we've got a lot of listeners who aren't in the beer tent yet, but one of the greatest things about ISCs, I would say, is you get together, whether it's in Midland, Michigan, or, you know, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, wherever, and you get together and you see so many people from Saskatoon or from Edmonton or from that you play club ball with that have spread out to play on ISCs with a different team. And I've always remember sitting in the beer gardens with you guys watching a game, and just, you guys are just incredible to us, like, because we were still young and trying to be up and coming. and to get the chance to pick your brain. You guys were always really gracious to us, so I really appreciate that kind of, you know, we watched a whole lot. Dean's big win. We were there in the far away, but we watched it. It was incredible. So that's funny. ISC's is an international tournament, but we get so many people from this local area, hotbed of ball, to get down there, and just it's fantastic just to catch up and tell stories and just like kind of like we're doing now.
Yeah, it's a relationships you build. Like you said, it could be years later, and you can still bring up those same stories and just, you know, BS about stuff and have a beverage and go from there. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, the ISC, Donnie, is just such a cool place to. Like, if you're a softball player, you're a guy softball player, you want to, at some point, somehow, somewhere, get an opportunity to go play in an ISC, because it's just, it's something different than you've ever experienced. And you're right, it all comes back to the people that you see every year. And there's people that you never hang out with at all. It's just you see them every year at ISCs, and they're, you know, they become your friends over 30 or 40 or 50 years, or however many times we've been down there, I don't know. It's kind of a blur now.
Even fans, like, it's not even just with players. It's the same fans there too. Yeah.
Well, so other than the ISC
and everything, right? Umpires and everything, right?
So yeah.
Other than the one you won, I guess, is, do you have a favorite ISC memory or a favorite park to play in? Because we asked everybody else that's been to ISCs. Do you have a favorite park that you played in at ISCs?
Oh, a couple that really stand out to me. I just love those parks down in, you know, Kimberley. That lower park in Kimberley is just awesome. And you know, I didn't play. I see the park down in Eau Claire. That's unbelievable. Nice, that old scoreboard and things like that. Just the fans around those places, I'd say for sure. Those would be two that jump out for me. I didn't get a chance to play down for the ISC down. Where was I thinking? No, the other place, obviously, down that we all talked about before, or that we all mentioned when Dean and Keith and I talk, is that down in Circle Tap.
Oh, for sure.
So,
oh, yeah.
Right down there. So
crazy
to that's
play,
the people
play
too.
Experience down there, too. So that was pretty cool. So.
And Wisconsin, you get deep-fried cheese curds, which is a nice touch, too. Nice way to end the night.
You know what, Donnie, though? I got to say, you know, you plugged Saskatoon. And when we talked, we did our episode on, you know, we were talking about some of the best parks we've ever played in. I'm like, how do we not say Saskatoon? Like Gordie Howe and Bob Van Imp, like, Gordie Howe had the history, but I remember growing up, that's where you watched all the greats play, and so when we got to play there, there was no other feeling than playing in Gordie Howe. That was, you know, pretty special, but obviously we got to play in it and got spoiled, and then you start thinking of other places that were amazing places to play ball, but we've got a pretty good spot in Saskatoon.
We have a great spot in Saskatoon, no question.
Yeah, world class for sure. We'd be remiss if we didn't finish your playing career. Did you not win another national championship just last year?
I did.
Well, I did. Would you like to talk about that for just a moment?
He doesn't count those.
Oh, I count
those.
Oh,
yes,
for sure.
I do.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, I was fortunate that the boys gave me a call to join them after the coaching experience and came out and had an awesome time down in Grand Prairie with the twos team. So that was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, it was crazy. Honestly, we were there with the men's, with the Pirates team that we were hosting. But you can make a really good argument that twos team would have done well on the senior side. Just a super stacked
for 10
lineup.
Minutes. For 10 minutes, yeah.
If you had to play one game, you guys could have competed with anybody there, no doubt about it.
If we could have gave some of our defenders some goalie equipment, and we had some pinch runners once in a while.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You say one game or one inning.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a big
take anybody on one inning.
I'm a big believer in pinch runners, guys.
You know what I like?
That.
You know what I do like though? By asking that question, it makes you think of, yeah, I would have loved to have done that. Do you know what I mean? For 10 minutes later, you realize you shouldn't have. But I think everyone on this phone call would go, yep, I would love to do that.
For sure.
Like, you know what I mean?
It's,
just before the hamstring
competitive.
Explodes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, even we talk about, Dean, I mean, we play you guys with the twos and Camrose almost every year, and it's always, it's arguably the best game of the tournament. I mean, you guys, there's no doubt the pitching ability you guys have, the hitting, you just grizzled vets out there, but it's always been a battle every time. Like, you guys, there's no doubt, age doesn't matter at that point. You guys are competitors, which is awesome to see.
Hey, I'll give you a little trivia here, though. If you check the trophy that we have,
I know the answer.
We have the Senior A trophy.
Yeah,
they got
the newfies. The newfies have the Masters trophy.
Ah, they've won enough. It doesn't matter.
If they want it back, it's going to cost them.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That looks good in your basement, Tosh.
That's right.
Okay, so let's, I guess, flip into, like, obviously, it's a huge career playing-wise, all the great experiences, Hall of Fame. How did you get into coaching, and what was the reason you got into coaching?
Well, I started coaching at the minor ball level here with my daughters. I started coaching with my older daughter in the laser zone here in Saskatoon, and I coached all the way through the squirt, peewee, and bantam age with her and through the laser zone, and then had an opportunity to coach in the midget program with the selects, and then that carried me on up into the coaching with Tosh at the junior national team level. So that's where that all came up from there. And then I've been part of the program with the junior national team since 2017 when we went down, and we're down in Clearwater in Tampa there, and that's when we achieved a fourth place finish, and then we were able to up that and do a great job with this past summer down in Irvine, California, and that's where we were able to get Canada's first ever, you know, bronze medal for the junior level for the ladies. So, and then my plan was to be coaching again for this summer, carrying that on, going to Peru, but that's been postponed at this point in time, so we're just waiting to hear what the next plan of attack if that's going to be after all this craziness is gone. So,
well, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up a story. Obviously, Canada Cup this year, I was coaching the U16 Liners team, had a bit of a connection with Tosh, and we had a day where we didn't play till 8. And I said, hey, I get you guys are busy and it's crazy, but what are the chances we can maybe work a bit of a joint practice with you? Tosh, like, you know what, Donnie, for sure we can. We want to develop the game. It's great for everybody, great for our girls. So we had to try and lie to our girls about what we were doing, because we're driving, I don't know, an hour away from the park to a practice diamond. And the girls are like, ah, come on, we played 6 games and we're beat. And I'm like, no, we got to get some work in. So we drive to this park, and I have no idea where we are. And it's in a parking lot, and there's nobody there. And the girls, I'm like, hey, get your gear out, get the bow net set up, get stretched out. And we're on the, I want to say, the far south side of the parking lot, and there's nobody there. And the girls all kind of begrudgingly, mind you, they're not impressed with an extra workout in this tournament, because it's Canada Cup is crazy. It's tons of games and lots going on. We get out, and the girls start setting up their nets. And all of a sudden, this flood of red-topped team comes out. And the girls first say to me, oh, Donnie, you idiot. You didn't book the diamond. There's somebody else here. And I was like, yeah, oh, just wait. And, of course, you guys all roll out, and you're gracious enough to let us basically take part in your BP. And so all our girls get out there, and their eyes are as big as dinner plates. They are outside their mind thinking, what are we doing out here? And so Tosh and you are throwing BP to your girls, and they're hitting absolute laser beams at our girls playing the outfield, and they're freaking out, and it's great. And, of course, at the very end, Tosh says, hey, you girls want to take some swings? And all the girls are super excited, and they all get their bats, and they run in there. We give them about 6 swings each. And the first girls go in there, and I remember one of the girls, Emily Waters, comes off, and she's like, oh my God, Ethier throws a cannonball. Like, even just BP, just hammering these girls on the inside part of the plate. And they're just used to me throwing melons in there, obviously. So not a great endorsement for me as a pitching coach, unless you want your confidence built. And so the girls are in there, and it's crazy to see the job you did with your girls involving a U16 team from Lloyd. You guys are trying to win a big tournament. There's lots going on, and you guys were so incredible to the team. And the girls talk about that to this day, as what a great experience it was to shag flies with Team Canada and talk to them after, and they did a cheer with them after. And it was like the highlight of the year, probably, for the U16 Liners. So I got to say, talk about being gracious in the game and giving back to the game. There's no reason you guys had to do that, and it was such a great thing for my girls to experience. So thanks again. I'm sure I thanked you a million times, but the experience they got at batting practice with you and Tosh throwing, and I know Tosh is going to want to talk about his BP pitching skills here, which is fine. But so you can go ahead and jump in anytime, Tosh. But it was incredible to watch the discipline of this team, how they worked. It was like one unit. Every person, they knew how many swings they're taking, where the ball was going. They all had cuts. They all worked on, you know, the routes on the outfield. It was the communication was, it was crazy to watch from a U16 coach to a national team coach. Amazing.
Well, yeah, like we had a really good group, you know, and the one thing that I think with this group last summer that really stood out is, I mean, they all got along with each other. And really, you'd see, we'd only been together maybe a week.
Yeah.
And but they were really tight. But as soon as it's also a big, you got to remember, Donnie, it's also a big deal for our girls because they actually now are being looked up to. And that's a big deal. That's a confidence builder. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of them, when, you know, we're playing in the international side and we're winning some games, but we're also getting our butts handed to us too. They get this idea that now this team is coming up, and now Emily Waters looks across at Sam Ryan and wants to be Sam Ryan, you know? And so for Sam Ryan, that's a big deal because not many kids have probably said anything to her like that before or anything like that. So, but you're right. Like on just for Etsy and his throwing BP, I mean, Dino and I, and, you know, Etsy does it at the Academy, Donnie, you do it. We throw BP to our kids all the time. And, you know, we've got some kids that hit some laser beams. But every once in a while, you get, you know, you can let up a little bit. You start to relax and think, okay, well, she's going to hit the ball hard, but I'll be able to get my glove on it. I should be okay. You throw to these kids, and they're hitting absolute missiles. And,
yeah.
And so when you talk about Etsy drilling it in on the hands and stuff, that's survival.
Yeah,
like, exactly. That's, don't throw it down the middle. Just don't throw it down the middle. I mean, but yeah, that was an awesome day for all of them. And because we had some kids, obviously, in the twos program on your team as well, and just seeing their eyes light up and, you know, giving them a glimpse of what's out there and what can be achieved. Because we had two kids on that team, right? We had Lucy and we had Maddie. And so they would have known who those kids were. And yeah, so it was a pretty cool experience for everybody.
Yeah.
The thing that really stands out to me for that day too, I just noticed on all sides, everyone that was around the park today, it was just the smiles on everyone's faces. Everyone was just feeling great, you know, and Donnie, your girls were wanting to go meet our girls and our girls were wanting to go meet your girls. And I just thought that picture at the end, just everything, just all that relationship stuff that was built just in that short period of time, I think was awesome. So,
yeah. Oh, for sure.
Thank you to you guys too.
Oh yeah. You don't have to thank us. We'll follow you guys around anywhere, I guess. I think our girls all could have said, hey, is the tournament done? We can go home now. It's not going to get any better than this. This is as good as it's going to get. So obviously a wild experience. So coaching with Tosh, obviously you guys have a lot of familiarity. You've been played together for a long time. Process-wise in the dugout, talk a little bit about, you know, obviously you run the pitching staff, but Tosh is still at the top of the hill. How did those interactions go when you're talking about staff rotation, when to pull a girl, when to warm a girl up? How did that kind of go?
Well, I think this is something I really, you know, pat Tosh on the back. You know, he's just an outstanding guy to work with in that aspect. And I think a lot of it goes back to, you know, Tosh and I and Dino, we're all very similar that way. We've played this game for so long together. We understand the game. We see things very similar. We understand how we approach certain situations and things like that. So I think when it comes down to when you're talking about, you know, pitching discussions and things like that, Tosh always had a lot of trust in me on who I felt was, you know, ready to go or who should we go with. And I think that we're, you know, 99% of the time we're on the same page on what we're thinking that way. And, you know, when we wanted to get somebody out of there, or who's next up on deck to go, and who's going to be there, who's going to step up for us in this particular moment. And I think that kind of goes a long way. And I think the friendship that we have developed over the years going in, I think, you know, really helps. And, you know, and I know obviously with, you know, Tosh and Dino, same sort of idea when they're working together, it's that type of stuff when you have that trust factor and you're not questioning each other on, you know, what's this person doing? Why would you want to do that? Yeah, exactly. Why would you want to do that? Why are you thinking you want to put that person in the... I never found in my 3 years of working with Tosh, you know, in the junior program that we'd ever have that. And I think that we always, you know, saw things the same way and very similar, and we're always on the same page. So that really helped.
You know, you talk about that a little bit. We talked a little bit with the U15 boys team a couple of podcasts ago about how it's hard to gel on such a short time period for players, but for coaching staff, that's another thing. Coaches got to gel too. I mean, if you got three coaches with three different opinions, it's not going to be a great experience. So, and that's obviously a tribute to the fact that you guys have had that history and that experiences together. So I know Canada Cup was the first time I've been to it, and it is a wild tournament. Like, it is so many teams and so many fans and such a nice complex. So It was awesome for us to be there and see you guys do that. Felt like a kind of a big deal when we're like, oh, hey, look, there's Eats and Tosh. And they're like, hey, Donnie. I was like, yes, sir. And old Donnie's made it.
Well, like you said, you said the key word there, Donnie, is wild. I think, and that's the cool thing about that tournament is that it's wild for every age of every level, right? So that's everyone can have their own different experience within that tournament. I think that's a fantastic thing that people can, you know, take with them. Whether you're going there once, you end up going back there, you know, 10 different times. So
one thing I want to ask, I know you guys talked about this a little bit, and Tasha said it offline, but I'd like to put it on the record. During that week, you guys are there for about a week or so, right?
What are you talking about?
Canada Cup?
Canada Cup.
In that week, how many pitches do you think you threw in batting practice?
3,500 each.
Yep.
3,500? Like, that's absurd, that number. How was the old soup bone? That's crazy.
We did kind of count on how many we threw each day, and we did add it up last summer. So.
Yeah. It just becomes part of the routine. And for me being a non-pitcher, my arms. Yeah.
Tosh, don't discount your effort. Don't discount your effort in California, bud. That El Centro game was.
I told you guys before. If they change the rule from 40 feet and you can walk through it, I'm your guy.
Oh.
But no,
and you
can
carry a sheet of plywood out there.
Yeah. I think that you get focused in on what you're doing. And I mean, Dino and I and Donnie, I mean, we throw BP to our kids all the time, and you get focused in and you start to get tired. You feel yourself getting tired, but it's about what kind of pitches am I throwing to this kid? Well, with the national team, it's even more because, you know, like it was very, and ET, you know, we talk about it. Obviously I'm dealing with the hitters, but we talked about what kind of pitches are we going to have to see. And so, I mean, I don't have a rise ball or great rise ball or anything like that, but it's a knee buckle.
You're not helping
for sure, but I mean you're so focused on what you're doing to make sure that the girls are staying in the practice and focused on what they're doing at the plate. Like, you know, we joke around quite a bit. You know, Dino knows it too. We we're having a good time. Right, that's part of the game. So we're all three of us are very enthusiastic people, and Itzy probably more so than me and Dino. Like Itzy is the best cheerleading coach on the planet. He's the best cheerleading player on the planet. Like, I mean, it's just he's so positive, and he's yeah, bud, and oh, it's just it was awesome. But when you're throwing that many pitches, you're just trying to make sure that you're doing your job because you're trying to get these kids prepared. So. But yeah, it was amazing, and I'll jump back just 2 seconds because I mean, Itzy, he didn't say enough about where. Yeah, you know what? We do see the game the same, and we rarely had any issues, and we knew the strengths of our staff, and you know, and I'd always do the lineup, and I'd flip it over to his bed, and he'd look at it and go, "Yep, I'd do the exact same thing and stuff," and you know, whatever. But the thing that was very apparent early in this go around, especially, is the pitchers loved him. The pitchers trusted him. The pitchers knew that, you know, he had their back, and as we know, pitchers are a little bit different. And
see, you must not be a pitcher right now then.
That's right, I'm not a pitcher right now. But Itzy, you know, you did a phenomenal job with that staff, and we had some issues. Like we had some things that we had to deal with, but the way that you dealt with that, and again, it's a trust factor. I hardly talked to him at all. Like, you know, it got to the point where, you know, how the third base coach has always got the ball kind of in the circle at the change of the inning or whatever. Trev went out, like, and the girls wanted him there. You know, like, if I came across the field from third base, I threw the ball to him, and he went out, and he almost got an extra visit kind of thing with the pitchers. Mm-hmm. And it just became a tradition that the pitchers just loved, and they loved having him out there. And so yeah, ET did a fantastic job with that staff. And you know, we obviously had some white knuckle moments, and you know, but it all worked out with the knee buckler change to win. Yeah. It but yeah. If you would have told me that that's the way that game would have gone down, I wouldn't have said that. Right. But we had enough trust, but we were on the same page. Like, we just, it's time. Yep. Let's go. And, you know, so. So ET was a huge help.
All right, Tosh, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up. You talk about how you're not a pitcher, and I get it. And I know you're not fishing, but here it is.
Okay.
One glorious night in Southern California,
yep.
when we had to play a game where coaches pitched to our own teams.
Right.
And Tosh, you were like Billy Chappell out there from For Love of the Game. Everything came together, you know?
Yeah.
You and Gus Sinski behind the plate were on the same page. Yeah. And everything you threw had a purpose, and it moved, and it was like on a Hot Wheels track. And I believe we can probably attribute the fact that we're doing a podcast now, because after that game, we decided to do an interview to send to the team.
That's the initial.
We need to get that on the YouTube channel.
It was.
But you know what, Donnie? Could. You know what, Donnie? You did a fantastic job. It was a very special night. I'll give you that for sure. But I mean, like I said before in the post interview, I knew that I'd probably never throw on that field again.
No.
So I wanted
for
to
the love of God, what is next?
So what are you saving it for, right, Tosh? I appreciate that you went out there, you tipped your cap, and you said, "Hey, this is."
I just walked off.
This is amazing.
Can't do any more than that.
Nope, you did your job for sure. And I think the funny thing is that little interview. There's a lot of laughs, a lot of facts. But it was smooth and easy, and that's kind of how this podcast has gone. It's just guys telling stories about the game. But when you have such a great game, Tosh, when you show up as a pitcher and everything's working, because we've all been on the mound where one of your spins isn't right and you don't have the velocity, you don't feel good. But Tosh, walk us through that a little bit again, if you can, for the listeners, how you felt. I mean, what was going through your mind?
I don't want to get too much and take over this podcast because it's we got some more stuff we need to talk about. When you talk about the spins not going the right way, it's I'm not sure what you mean by that, because everything went the right way that night. Like it was the catchers and I were on the same page.
Sure,
like we really were. I mean, they know the hitters; you got to trust them, right?
Yeah, trust is a big thing. Yeah,
trust is a big thing. But it was good. And you know what? Dino came in for the close, which was great. Yeah. Actually gave up the only runs of the game, but you know
felt
what?
A little nervous. Following you. Good.
Big act to follow.
It's crazy that you shut down both lineups as long as you did. Not one lineup. You were pitching straight through, no breaks. Like you were a horse out there, Tosh.
Are we completely out of things to talk about?
No, I got more, right? But I really want to.
But it completely baffles me that nobody figured out that every inning I moved 2 feet closer too. I don't know how that.
They were just in awe. No one noticed your feet because they were just in awe of the spin. I get it.
I got a question for Eats, and this goes back because, and I know Donnie was going to get into it, but I want to talk a little bit about the academy and the Tommy Douglas Academy that you and Batesy have going, and I know Batesy started a few years ago, and then you got the dream teaching job for a softball player, that's for sure. So tell us a little bit about the academy, kind of where it came from, where it's going, and how things are going.
Okay, you bet. So we're going to be coming up to our 12th year of softball academy. It'll be my ninth year. Don Bates, my teaching partner there, started off the program there in 2009. So it's been going strong since then. He started it off with roughly just over 20 students with that time, and then he ran it for a couple seasons, approximately that amount of kids, and then I came on in year three from there, and we've just kind of been trying to push and grab as many kids as we can that would be a good fit for that type of program. And right now we're coming into it. We're going to have 53 students for this year. We went for the first 11 years, we've ran the program for just grades 10, 11, and 12, with exceptions on certain grade 9s if we are ever in need of, for example, pitcher, catcher. But now what we've done, and I think it's a huge pat on your guys' back, type of thing that you guys are doing, with the twos, stuff like that, and all the training. I just find that the level of play and the commitment and people that want to be part of softball is just huge and, expanded quite a bit. And I think that's what we've done is we've added it into a grade 9 program this year as well. So we're going to run a grade 9s and 10s in our morning group and our grade 11s and 12s in the afternoon. We're very fortunate that we have, like I said, 53 students coming, and it comes from 23 different schools. So if you think of that, that all the different types of people coming in, those things. So we are a co-ed situation, but we are, you know, about 90% female. But it is nice to get, you know, get some guys in there that love the game and want to, you know, better themselves and push themselves, for example, for, you know, junior national team and go on from there. So that's where we're actually there. Like I said, Don Bates started it off, and him and I are, you know, great friends. And Don was our pitching coach when we played, with Dean and I's pitching coach when we were with our team here in Saskatoon.
Absolutely,
in 2009.
Yeah.
So fantastic guy, and he has a great relationship with these students and does an awesome job, you know, instructing and going from there. The biggest thing that we have with our program is that we have kids of all level, but we all have the same common goals, that we love the game, you know.
Want to get better.
That's what it's all about. It's what you want to get better. You love the game. You want to come to school and train softball during your school day. It's, like I said, I'm very fortunate. I went the first 12 years of my teaching career teaching phys ed, which I absolutely loved, you know, out in Aberdeen. Then I come into the city to do this program. I couldn't ask for a better situation, you know, to be a teacher and be able to teach the game I love during school for that semester. It is a one semester course. We run it just in the first semester of each year. You know, kids can take it multiple years going forward. It's been obviously that they could take a grade 10, 11, 12, but now we've expanded so it can be a grade 9, 10, 11, to 12 program. We have many kids that will leave our program that go on to, you know, want to play at the U.S. college level or U of S level and things like that. We've had many, many girls over the years. Some of our guys have gone in to play the junior national team and been part of that as well. So Don and I have been pretty fortunate, you know, just like, you know, you guys in the TWS program, you develop these relationships with a lot of these coaches, you know, have these, you know, great players that are not only awesome people, but can go ahead and play at that next level, go to do that. So we've developed a lot of relationship with coaches that way. And the things that I know that, for example, that they're looking for, that as you start talking to them, they want to, you know, they want to know what type of person they're getting, right? So that's the character. Are they a team player? They would love to meet these people going forward if that's all possible. You know, they want to see some stuff in video, creating your videos. So Don and I do a good job trying to help them out with that stuff during our school program, so they can start setting up their videos so they can get that stuff set up. They want to see against some top competition in some of your, you know, your club ball and all your two stuff and then your local stuff and all that sort of stuff. So that's a good part of that. They're looking for people that obviously are just looking willingness and want to improve and be part of something pretty special in the program that they have. So yeah,
I like, we can, you know, I mean, like you say, you've mentioned it a few times, and you know, we work together, right? There's situations where you might have a player that's, you know, struggling with certain things, and I know that if I, you know, if they're going to go somewhere else, they're going to be talking with you and Batesy. We're going to be primarily on the same page. It's not going to be like talking a different language, and so it's good from our standpoint too. And we love, you know, we'll send as many kids there as we can, and as well down in Regina here, like with Martin Academy, Karen Thal does some instruction with us, and there's a good relationship there, and. I guess the timing too is there's a company called Peak Performance out of Moose Jaw Eats. I don't know if we even talked about it yet, but we're going to be doing the softball training for them. So we're kind of excited about that, and we'll probably be asking you obviously a lot more questions as to, you know, what things you did well in your program, what things maybe, you know, that you had to change or things you needed to improve. But what do you, on the trip side of things, what do you guys got planned? Obviously, in a non-COVID world, what were your thoughts for your trips this year? Do you have those planned yet, or are you still
kind of thinking? Yeah, we're trying to do a rotational cycle. Like I said, we just finished our first time. We went out down to Hawaii this past December. We took our group down there, and then our rotation thing is that we're going to get down back to Florida, either out to Florida State, or we're going to go see TIFF down at UCF. Arrange something out there. So that's kind of the rotation we have. So these students that are in our program for multiple years, they get a chance to go to different spots. And we've been to San Diego, Arizona, Cal State Fullerton, you know, and down in Scottsdale and ASU and things like that. So we're just back to Florida would be the plan this year. So
awesome.
I think it's important to note, though, like with the two programs, The main goal from what I'm hearing is, like, obviously it's your passionate guy and you've got a great resume, just like Tosh and Dean and all the instructors, to give back to the game. Your ultimate goal is to help kids achieve their goal, is to improve players. So it's not about picking one or the other. There's tons of spillover, there's tons of crossover, and the fact that, like Dean said, the message is the same. And here's a path you can go on to get better, to be better as a player. And if you're looking to get to that next level, whether it's national team or get to the States to go to college, or just be a provincial or a Western or a national champion, there's all these facilities now and opportunities for these teams and players to send their kids to these with great instruction, with great work ethic instilled in them. So it's really good to hear that you guys have this program that is phenomenal success, and it just adds to what Softball Saskatchewan, Alberta, Western Canada is doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think too, like, I mean, I look at some of the, you know, the years lately where we've had some of our kids going through and doing both, and I mean, you can look at Jaden Gaia, for instance, one of Razor's proteges in catching. But the thing that I really noticed after Jay had obviously been in your program is they get a whole bunch of reps, right? They get a ton of reps, and that to me is one of the things that if we're going to compete with the American teams, it's those reps that are huge, right? You know, yeah. Like, I think, you know, like Dino said, the teaching were, you know, the four with you and Batesy and myself and Dino, and then all our instructors were pretty much all on the same page with a lot of stuff, and that's okay if we're not on some things.
Yep.
But
different set eyes. Yeah.
That's right. And I just noticed that we've had some kids in the program lately that come out and have gone through our winter training, gone through your program. Then I also know there's kids that don't, you know, that have gone through the academy, that it's probably kept their love of softball alive too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, it's such a good program, and we love working hand in hand with you guys. So,
oh, and we love working with you guys too. Like, yeah. I said, I think this relationship we have, you know, and you guys have sent us a bunch of kids, and I think that's fantastic. And we have a lot of kids in our program that want to go to you guys. And I think we just keep that rolling. It just gets more kids,
yeah.
like Donnie's saying, for that one common goal. I think with kids in our program, especially, we really focus on, you know, they become more versatile, you know, coming with us. I think your game knowledge definitely increases, just like it will with you guys. But I think the one difference that we have on a day-to-day basis during in school aspect is that they get to train and be part of something in a non-competitive environment, you know, where you can really pick them apart, where it doesn't really matter if you're ever going to, you know, because we have so many kids at so many different levels, and we can really take you behind scenes, and there's not going to be any trial for anything and things like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't
for
imagine sure. As a high school student having the ability or the option to take fastball as a class. Like, I hope everyone realizes, I know we all came from the days of snow in the winter, you played hockey, and in summer you played mm-hmm. ball, but I can't imagine saying, okay, I'm going to go right from math and go right into fastball. That's amazing. Like, what a great opportunity.
What do you think your mark would be, Don?
In what part of the course? I mean, if it's joke making, I hope, and I don't know how tough they grade, I'm 80, 75, somewhere in there. I'm happy being middle.
Would that be the same if you were sitting beside me or not?
I'm not sure. I like to do my own thing. I have my own style.
I got a question for each. We talked about it with Obi a little bit too, I think, and we were talking about, and you touched on it with the multi-sport. I'm just curious about what your take is now, you know, like, I mean, you're a multi-sport athlete. We were multi-sport athletes. Wayne Gretzky was a big, you know, he's our big multi-sport guy, wants kids to do lots of different things. How do you think that, you know, I guess the time or you know, what, like when we were growing up, you just did that. There was there was no problem. Nowadays, programs like ours, inadvertently, right?
Yep.
You're causing kids to play year round, and I mean, our motive is there to make people better and to, you know, give them more opportunities and stuff in the winter. But it does make it tough on multi-sport athletes, and I'm wondering, you know, what your thoughts are on how kids deal with that nowadays and what it was like now compared to obviously when we grew up.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know, it's just one of those things you still spend the time encouraging people to get involved in as many things they can and, you know, be multi-sport athletes, but then also recognizing that if it's something they really want to pursue and it is their passion, you know, like programs like what you guys are doing right now, I think are fantastic and give those kids that opportunity that want to be that person, because there is a lot of them out there. And I think that's a great thing as well. You do have that juggling factor where it comes into effect where you're going to have some conflicts. And I know you guys probably see it with some of the kids that you have, you know, whether it's the amount of tournaments they can commit to or the training and things like that, even though, you know, they really want to be there, but they've got something else going on for something and things like that. It's just finding that balance, but then realizing and having those conversations with them and their families on, you know, what it is you want to see past this and things like that too. So, and I think that can obviously be a lot into their decisions going forward.
Yeah. It's just forcing kids a little bit earlier and families a little bit earlier to make sure they're organized and plan and just be, you know, you might have to make some choices, some tougher choices earlier in your life than we had to, but.
Yeah. That's like one of the things, like I use my oldest daughter and, you know, Dina, your daughter's the same way. It's just, you can think of the situations where, you know, our kids are playing so many sports and things like that. And coached my daughter going up all the way up through softball and eventually ended up losing her to volleyball and she had to make that choice. I wish in your guys' program being able to continue and pushing and being part of the junior national team theater, that would have been great, but I understand that it's her passion and that's what she went with, so you just sort of
support
it that way. That's right, it's all about what they're happy with. So.
Wow. Okay, you know what? We're running into that, what we call the sweet spot of time, so we're almost in an hour. It's been great conversation.
Oh, wow.
Great stories, great insight into the program, into your coaching experience, your playing experience, Trevor. So thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
What we have at the end of every segment is a parting shots, we call it. So, Trevor, do you have any words you want to leave the listeners with about anything at all you want to say?
Just keep surrounding yourself with great people. Like I said, it's just going to bring you awesome things going forward in whatever you choose in life. And, you know, give back to the things that have been so great to you. I just think that's really important. And, you know, just continue to be awesome people.
Fantastic. Dino, what do you got?
Oh, well, I just thanks Eats for coming on. We've had some really special people come on. And we're really fortunate that we live in a family that has these types of people in it. And we've said it a few times that this is the best game on the planet. And, you know, we're pretty fortunate in what we do. And, I mean, we're fortunate with 222s. Eatsy's fortunate to be a teacher and gets to teach kids the game that he loves as well. And so, you know, three cheers for the sport. You know, keep doing everything we can do to make this sport better and find a way to somehow – in your own little way, improve, you know, something in it, right? Keep it rolling. Do something to keep it rolling. Keep on keeping on.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm. What about you, Tosh? Yeah.
Well, that sounded forced, really.
You're an ass.
No, you can't say it.
No, I can't. I can't finish my thought, but you can.
I just... I want to thank Eats for coming on. It's awesome having him. You know, we've been, you know, the three of us for sure have been buddies for a long time, and it's just awesome having those conversations to bring up old stories, and this is what these podcasts are about, and tie in, you know, what we're doing with the twos, what you're doing with the national team and the academy is fantastic. But yeah, no, just nothing but great things to say about you, Eats, and
you guys as well. Thank you.
Yeah, so all the best with everything, and hopefully the world starts spinning on the right axis, and we can go out there, and a bunch of old guys can go out there and kick the crap out of a bunch of young guys this year.
Hey, here's one thing we forgot to mention. Like, we got Holly Spears is going to be a 222s instructor. She came right on the podcast and said that she's going to do that.
She did, actually. She said it.
So, Itzy, same question to you. She's going to be a 222s instructor one day.
Nice.
She said it right on here, so we're holding her to it. So I was just wondering, when can we expect
send the contract over.
Trevor,
you guys know in the back of your mind that's something that I hope that we can definitely make happen sometime.
Yeah,
absolutely,
there we go.
Buddy.
Hey, well, yeah, wishing won't make it so, Eats. You just go ahead and do it. The other question
actually, Eatsy, there's this tournament in Vegas you might want to go to.
Okay.
I think
it's
we have
more,
one spot available.
Yeah, we only got one spot left, and maybe it's you.
The only stipulation is your plus one has to be me. That's bottom line.
Awesome,
so the background is Donnie has been whining on. Well, you've done a bunch of these podcasts, and he's whined on 90% of them.
He definitely wants
to
go to Vegas. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's whining. It's campaigning, I would argue.
Yeah, sure.
That's our campaign, Donnie. We'll do it.
Yeah, God bless. Yeah. It's great. I have a guy in my corner. The only question I have left is, and I recognize no one knows what's going to happen. No one knows when the bans are lifted. No one knows anything. Are you going to defend your title with the twos?
Well, the announcement today, this is maybe bad news for you, Donnie, but Softball Canada announced today that the senior men's and the Masters men's is not going to be in Newfoundland.
Well, so I heard that, and just so you guys know, we had a group chat going with the guys, and Millie wants to put in another bid to host if they'll allow. Yeah, so obviously it's really early in the process. Newfoundland pulled out of hosting everything, but I think with us hosting it last year, the facilities are there, everything was upgraded properly.
Yeah.
We'll put in a bid. If there is going to be a Nationals, we'll put in a bid to host.
Put in a bid to fix your pitcher's mounds, for the love of God.
There's some issues there, yeah. Well, on the lower diamonds especially, you need a shovel to fill in the holes that people dig.
and the guys throwing on the lower diamonds have a little more girth to them as well.
Yeah.
So that probably has a lot to do with it. Yeah.
So just jump. Yeah. What are you digging a hole for? Cheat away. What do you need to dig a hole
for? These guys are the push and drag era guys, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, because on the top diamond, I don't think they even had to rake them. No one even touched the ground in the circle. It was a...
I'm going to start the keto diet. I'm going to come back and play for another 5 years at the Master A level.
You can do it, buddy.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
Thanks for listening to Tuesday Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.